In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This sermon of Jesus to his disciples is important for us to understand the context of it in Luke's Gospel. This is at the very beginning of his ministry. He has just finally identified who the inner circle will be. He's identified the 12 people he wants to be his disciples. And so he is giving the Sermon on the Plain, as it's called in Luke's Gospel. And so if you notice the wording of this, he is addressing specifically his disciples. This is not to the multitude. This is to his inner circle of people, to really tell them that now that they've been selected, now that they've been set apart, there's a choice that needs to be made. And the fact is, it's an age-old choice. It's as old as our understanding of there being a God. The prophet Jeremiah wrote about that same choice in the passage that we read from the book of Jeremiah. He said, "Curse those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength." And a little later he said, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." So there's a decision there of being cursed versus blessed and where the trust goes. King David, the author of the Psalms, wrote in the very first psalm, the introduction to the whole book, he said, "Happy are they who have not walked with the wicked or the sinners or the scornful." Again, a choice to avoid those things. The psalm is describing that the blessing side of it is of our being like trees that bear fruit in due season and have leaves that do not wither. So there's a way to receive blessing and avoid the woes. So Jesus then starts his Beatitudes. So the word Beatitude means to be truly happy, truly in bliss over something. And the Greek word used for blessed really means happy or blessed, either one, happy or blessed. And what he's comparing really, though, in Luke, there's a contrast between a blessing and a woe. It's not just a list of blessings, but there's a list of blessings and woes that correlate to them. And a lot of it, at first glance, looks like it's counter to our understanding of what values should be. Really? We're blessed if we're poor? That doesn't quite make sense. And so there's a lot of writing I've read in the past where there's a look at, well, this is showing how the heavenly kingdom turns earthly values upside down. So this is an example of flipping things upside down. But I think there's another way that we can look at this passage that makes sense and is worth our considering. If we look at Jesus not talking about physical conditions, but talking about spiritual values. So if we look at those Beatitudes, or those contrasts of blessings and woes, how could we look at that from a spiritual values perspective? So here's how that would work out. Poor versus rich. Poor is about our really understanding that we are in need of God. We are poor of the depth of relationship we want with God, or the awareness of the blessings of God, and being in that mindset that we can always do better. We can always have more of God. And so we have this need for God. On the rich side of it, the person who just comes to my mind now because he's on the news so much is Jeff Bezos, you know, the CEO of Amazon, the world's richest person, right? A net worth of $115 billion. And I ended up finding out from my granddaughter, actually, that, well, he might be great at business, but he, until about a year ago, never gave a dollar to any need, any cause. He was his own cause, I guess. And it was only until about a year, year and a half ago, that he started giving a few million dollars away, mostly under pressure, it seems. But that, to me, reflects no sense of a need for God. And so you can see this contrast from the spiritual value point of poor versus rich. hungry versus full is our being hungry to know that we need to and should be depending upon God for our needs. It's not about a quick fix. And so there are lots of ways we can patch things up, thinking we don't need God to do this. I'm John Wayne. I don't need anybody's help. I can handle it myself. I use the example at 8 o'clock. One big fix for me is if I'm just having a bad day, dark chocolate works really well. And, you know, so if I'm feeling down, it's not bad to grab a couple pieces of dark chocolate, unless that becomes a daily pattern and a weekly pattern and a monthly pattern, and now I've got a real struggle with what happens when I step on the scales in the morning, or I have my yearly cholesterol test by the doctor, and he's going, "What have you been up to?" So, because that's happened. But the other way of approaching this, the full part, is to have a rule of life. And there are some great books written on that. Richard Foster's The Celebration of Discipline is a wonderful book that I've had a book study on before, where it's really saying, you know, at one time I thought having a rule of life meant if I follow certain things in my life, then it's just going to transform me into this saint-like being. It didn't. So then I thought, well, what is a rule of life about? And the technical definition is it's adding disciplines to your day that allow you to be in a place spiritually and physically that God can work with you. So it's not the answer, it's a way to get to the answer. And so there are ways that we can be hungry for that relationship that won't get fixed by dark chocolate. And but there are things we can do. Weeping versus laughing. I just thought about how when I was a child, my dad made it pretty clear, men never cry. So I was convinced as a kid that when I got to be an adult, my tear ducts would go away. Because, men never cry. And I found out that's not true. But what I did also find out is that not every place is a safe place for macho person to cry. And a faith community is the place I first found out that it was really all right to be that vulnerable. It's not easy for a guy, and maybe for you girls too. You have to let me know if it's not that easy to really be that vulnerable, to let somebody know that either for joy or for, you know, just emotional pain, to feel like tears need to be there. Because what we do is we learn how to wear masks. And we can be a different person at work. We can be a different person at church. We can be a different person at home. And I don't think that's what this contrast of weeping versus laughing calls us to be. Jesus is saying we're blessed when we weep. We're blessed when we have a place that we can be safe to share who we really are, to be who we really are, and to know that who we are is going to be honored and valued and treasured by the people that we're vulnerable to. And that's a lot what a Christian community is about, for us to build that space. It doesn't mean we automatically are. It takes a lot of hard work to accomplish that. So there's some work in this weeping versus laughing. He listed being hated, excluded, reviled, defamed, versus spoken well of by all. It just struck me, being spoken well of by all is, I'm going to, at all costs, make sure I do whatever I have to do that I never offend anybody. I never challenge anybody's belief system. I never challenge anybody else's values because it might hurt their feelings. I don't do that anymore. I think I'm really called as a Christian to make clear I'm a Christian, and that doesn't have to mean that I have Ash Wednesday ashes on my forehead year round. But it means that I make clear that what motivates me is my loving God and wanting God to love me back, and there's a way that I'm going to behave that I feel is honoring that relationship. And so being hated, excluded, reviled, defamed, Jesus said, if those things happen because of me, that's what he said in that beatitude. If those things happen because of me, because you are following me and defending me, then you will be blessed. So you and I share the blessing of the poor through our offerings of money and food and clothing and prayers that are aimed at helping other people and not just about helping ourselves. You and I share the blessing of hunger when we share the Holy Eucharist. That's not about filling us up on hosts. I mean, we wouldn't really want to do that, right? But what it is doing is binding us to each other. That's why I love the song, "Bind Us Together, Lord," that we're going to be singing and we've been singing. That is about us being bound to each other in the relationship we share at the communion, at the Eucharist, and with God. You and I share the blessing of weeping when we pray for each other and when we hug each other and when we share the peace for each other and when we lay hands on each other for the needs of each other because we care about each other. We share the blessing of weeping. And you and I also share the blessing of being excluded or even hated when we stand up for the values that we know that God has placed on each of our hearts. I mean, each of us has our own calling that God has called us to do. And when we stand up for that, then we share that blessing. So Jesus' list of Beatitudes describes how we have the choice. And it's a choice, if we don't make the choice, we've really made the choice, of how to accept our human weakness as opportunities for God to be deeply in our lives or not. And those who decide that they have no needs are overlooking their need for God. Like the disciples, we are to choose what set of values are going to direct our lives, our priorities. We are to choose whether to live to a different and a higher standard. Jesus wants us to become experts at the choices that bring eternal blessing. Amen.